الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك. سبحانك اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد. Special brothers sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, mashallah, for a marriage event where everybody comes no matter what. And actually, me, myself, I have been doing a lot of these marriage topics. And I've also mentioned that I'm bored doing these topics. I'm actually bored saying that I'm bored, I'm talking about marriage. That's how much I've talked about marriage. And people actually, some people think that I like talking about marriage. One brother recently, we had a program in Greenwich University about 3 weeks ago, and he came to me after the program, after the event, and he said, "You're always talking about marriage. Do you like the subject?" I said, "Look, it's not me, it's people." You know, my brother Tabriz came to me about a month or two ago. we want to invite you. I said, "Don't tell me we're going to talk about marriage." I said, "Yes, it's about marriage." So I've actually made my mind up that today is going to be my last talk on marriage for a long time. And we need to concentrate on some other issues as well. But alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong in talking about marriage as well. Marriage is a form of ibadah and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, marriage is a sunnah and there's nothing wrong. There's actually reward in talking about marriage, because in Islam, marriage is not a normal worldly act. It's considered to be an act of ibadah. It's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what I want to do, I want to talk about briefly one aspect. This is a massive topic. It's a very huge topic, and there are many areas that you can talk about and discuss and debate. Many areas. I remember once I gave a whole course on marriage a few years ago, where we had a course over about seven full days, from 9 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And then we also produce CDs, the Fiqh of Marriage. So there are literally hours and hours you can talk about marriage. There's so much to learn about, and there are many different issues. But in the short time that we have in front of us, what I want to do is, I want to talk about a small aspect connected to nikah and marriage, which is that when a marriage ceremony is taking place. When a marriage ceremony is taking place, most of you, if not all of you, have attended. If you're married yourself, then you'll know yourself. If you're not married, then you must have attended a marriage ceremony, whether at the masjid or at home or elsewhere or wherever. You hear the imam who carries out the marriage contract, who conducts the marriage, he reads something in Arabic. Now this is called a khutbah, which is a sermon. Remember, Islamically, for a marriage to take place, it's very simple, very easy. It's very easy. You have what we call ijab and qabool. Accept, proposal and acceptance. The woman says to the man, "I have given myself to you in marriage," and he says, "Wholeheartedly, I've accepted you." And you have two witnesses. Marriage is done. But there are things that are sunnah, like this sermon is considered to be a sunnah. It's a khutbah. Khutbah of marriage, considered a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now many a time this sermon, there's actually a huge and a massive objective and purpose and aim and goal behind this khutbah that is recited by the Imam. Why does the Imam recite that? Because it's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, he actually recited this particular sunnah, this particular khutbah and sermon before marriage. And he would normally recite this. And that's why in following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in following in his footsteps, the Imam would read this this khutbah and this sermon. This khutbah and this sermon, which we hear many times, the problem with majority of us is that we don't understand a word, because we don't know Arabic. So that's another problem anyway, we should try to learn Arabic. But what is being said in this khutbah? And why is it being said? There's actually a very, there's a huge objective purpose and aim and goal behind this khutbah and this sermon. In this khutbah, in this sermon, there are three verses of the Qur'an that are recited. One verse was recited by brother, what's your name brother? Brother Abu Bakr, mashallah, he beautifully recited the first verse of Surah An-Nisa. There are three verses recited. Why do we recite these three verses? Why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam recite these three verses at the time of marriage? Why did he choose these, specifically these three verses, out of thousands of verses of the Qur'an? And ironically, these three verses do not even mention marriage. Seriously, they don't even mention marriage. There is no mention of the word nikah or marriage in these three verses. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, may Allah have peace and blessings that be upon him, he could have chosen and picked any other verse of the Qur'an that has the mention of marriage in it. There are numerous verses, like فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. That was recited as well by the brother. It's further along. وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. And any other verse. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not choose any of these verses that have the mention of nikah in them. He chose three other verses. And these are the three verses that are considered to be sunnah. These are the three verses that we need to recite and the Imam needs to recite. There is a huge objective behind these three verses. There's a great lesson being given behind these three verses. We will understand the objective after I recite these three verses to you and I translate them briefly and explain them briefly. Then we'll understand. There are three verses. The first verse, which is recited, Surah An-Nisa, which the brother recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That's where you stop. What's the translation? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O people, O mankind, O humanity, me and you, O brothers and sisters, اتقوا ربكم, fear your Lord, الذي خلقكم, who created you, من نفس واحدة, from one soul, وخلق منها زوجها, and from it created its mate, وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء, and from this male, who is our forefather and prophet Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام, and his wife Hawa عليه السلام. From these two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا, men, وَنِسَاءً كَثِيرًا, many men and many women. And then Allah said again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and fear Allah, الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ, fear Allah through whom you ask and demand and request your mutual rights. You know what that means? That you know when we ask one another, sometimes we say, Wallahi, give me my money. By Allah, give me whatever. You know, you demand and seek your rights. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through whom, through whose medium you use in asking and demanding and requesting one another your rights. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ, and fear arham. The word arham, plural of rahim, which means kinship. Kinship bonds that we have. This relationship we have with relatives and our family members and with our spouses, with the husband and the wife. So Allah says, fear your kinship, fear your relatives, Fear your close family members. Fear them what? You know, that they're going to kill you, shoot you? No. Fear them in order that you do not overlook their rights. Fear breaking and violating the rights of your fellow relatives and your family members and your spouses and your husband and your wife. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord and Creator, is watching over you. He's watching over you. Not like a big brother watching over you, but He's watching over you. He knows everything that you're doing. If you are in the middle of your house, there's nobody there. Outside you, mashallah, you're a sheikh and you're doing everything, but in the middle of your house, there's just your wife there, and you're not giving her rights. Allah is watching over you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. You could be the greatest pious person outside, but in the middle of the house, nobody's watching me. When I go outside in the masjid, I'm the sheikh, well, I'm this and I'm that. But inside the house, Allah is watching over you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That's verse number one. Okay, there's something there in that verse. I'm going to ask you the question after I mention the three verses. Second verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Ali Imran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqu Allah haqqa tuqatih. O you who believe, O Muslims, O believers, fear Allah as He is ought to be feared. Ittaqu Allah haqqa tuqatih. Wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Do not let death come to you. Do not pass away. Do not leave this world except in a state of faith, except in a state of iman, except in a state of submission. Which means that spend your life in accordance with the rules of Islam, in accordance with the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah, in accordance with the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not, so that you die as a complete believer. Verse number 3, Surah Al-Ahzab. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqu Allah. Again, O you who believe, O Muslims, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa qulu qawlan sadida. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqu Allah. Wa qulu qawlan sadida. Fear Allah and say and speak. Qulu, qawl. Speak that which is appropriate. Speak the truth. Speak that which is sound. You know, don't be foul mouth. Speak that which is appropriate. وَقُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. If you do that, if you fear Allah, and you control your mouth and your tongue, and you control whatever comes out from the mouth, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, your Creator, God, He will correct your actions for you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He will forgive your sins for you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. The one who obeys Allah and His Messenger. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Indeed, he has gained the true ultimate success of this world and of the hereafter. That's the third verse. Three verses done. Anybody want to come? Do the nikah? Is the khutbah taking place? Ready? Looks like somebody's ready there. These are the three verses. Now we need to reflect. We don't even think, you know, these, seriously, brothers and sisters, these three verses are so important. They were specifically chosen and picked for a very important reason. It's not just out of the blue. The wahi, the messengers of God, whatever they do, it's out of revelation. The Quran was a revelation. And whatever they do, even the ru'yatul anbiya, the dreams that the prophets have and see, it's a form of revelation. Everything they do, they are inspired. وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. They don't speak out of their own desires. Whatever they do, say, speak, it is ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a revelation, a wahi that is revealed unto them. So why did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose this, these three verses? He was inspired to do so by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these three verses, you've just heard them. Let me ask you a question. What's in common in these three verses? There's something that's common, that is mentioned in all three verses. Not marriage, not nikah, not talaq and divorce, not wife, not husband, not husband-wife relationship, not sexual relations. You have the book? Nothing like that. What's mentioned? Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa. Now, why has taqwa been greatly mentioned and emphasized at the time of marriage? The brother sitting there next to the imam and he's thinking about, come on, hurry up, I want to go and see my wife. Come on, when, he can't wait till the evening. He's already booked his, Hilton hotel or whatever. So, why at the time of marriage? So much emphasis, taqwa. You could mention it some other time. You know, it's like there are appropriate times, like what the ulama say, you have this qa'ida in Islam, wajibul waqt, the need of the time. Like when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody once came and asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyul a'mali afdal, what's the most beloved action? He said, birrul walidain, looking after your parents. Somebody else came another time, what's the most beloved action to Allah? He responded by saying, al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Somebody else came another time and he said, as-salatu ala waqtiha, offering prayer on his time. The different answer represented that need of the time. And this is what we have, wajib al-waqt. So anyway, there's a time and a place for everything. At this time, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have recited some verses of the Qur'an that related to marriage or the adab and the etiquette of marriage or something like that. What's taqwa got to do with marriage? I mean, fearing Allah is something that's part and parcel of deen and Islam anyway. I mean, Allah says in many places, if you just pick up the Qur'an and look through the whole Qur'an, you'll find numerous verses that talk about taqwa, fear of Allah. Taqwa really, it doesn't really only mean fear of Allah, it's got a... You know, there are certain words in the Arabic language that it's impossible to translate them. That's why learn Arabic, otherwise you won't understand that word. There are many examples like that, like the word adab in Arabic. Some people say respect. It's not respect. It's respect and numerous other things, like 100 other things. The word fitna in Arabic, impossible to translate it into English. Likewise, the word taqwa, we say the fear of Allah. But it's not just the fear of Allah. It's God consciousness. It's accountability. The understanding that every single action that I will do and every verbal statement that I make, every action and every verbal statement, I will have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. That's the meaning of taqwa. And that's the meaning of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being conscious about accountability on the day of judgment, on Yawmul Qiyamah, Hisab, reckoning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of taqwa. Now, why has the taqwa been mentioned, especially at the time of marriage? Okay? Reason being is, brothers and sisters, a marriage cannot survive, cannot be prosperous, cannot be harmonious, except that both the husband and the wife have ultimate taqwa in their lives. Without taqwa, there is no marriage. And this is the reason why these three verses have been recited. Why do we see nowadays many marriages, they end up in divorces. Marriages do not last. Seriously, I was recently, there was somebody who was 2 weeks. I mean, I know cases, forget 2 weeks, I know 2 days. And forget 2 days, one night. I talked to many people. Marriages don't last. Why? There's no taqwa. These verses nobody understood. We don't even know what the verses mean. We don't act upon these verses. The mention of taqwa is because we have to be those two people who want to marry according to Islam, Islamically. Islam says before marriage, at the time of marriage, and after marriage, you must have taqwa. You understand what taqwa means? You must be conscious of accountability on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the day of judgment, before your Lord and before your Creator. Remember, قبل النكاح, عند النكاح, وبعد النكاح. Before marriage, at the time of marriage, and after marriage, until death do you part. Okay, until you die, until the end of your life. Taqwa before marriage, at the time of marriage, and until, after marriage as well. It's very important. Now let's just look at these three stages. Taqwa before marriage. How many people have taqwa and fear of Allah before marrying? Starting off on the right foot. Many of us, we start on the wrong foot. How is this marriage going to be prosperous? How is it going to survive? If it is not based on the Quran and Sunnah, if it is not based on the guidance given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before marriage, having taqwa, And a lot of people, you know, they think, you know, it's fine, you know, it's, you know, I have my childhood sweetheart and this and that, and people start off with a relationship. I tell you something, I know so many marriages that started off with being love marriages, but they ended up in divorce. Bitter divorces. I know one case, extremely bitter divorce, where, especially the sister, she absolutely hates, she can't stand the guy. And there was a time before where she thought, this is my Prince Charming, my, you know what, this and that, and that's it, I want to spend all my life with him. And she was like absolutely mad in love with him, to the point that her parents said no because of a reason. And she went against her parents and she broke off ties with all her family members and everyone. Okay, that's another topic anyway, whether the parents were right or not. I don't want to go into that. But she thought that that's it. I'm in love with him. And now, doesn't mean now, it's been a while, about a year. She actually could not even stand the thought of this guy. She hated him. What happened? Where's all the love gone? I just don't understand these, you know, love marriages. Where's all the love gone? If it's love, then where is it gone? It was really lust and it wasn't love. Starting off on the right foot. Engagement, according to Islam, engagement doesn't do anything. Engagement, after you're engaged, you're not married. Who said you're married? Nothing changes after engagement, seriously. Many people don't realize this. After engagement, they think that they're parents of children. You know, they just think that that's it, they're married. And they're going to restaurants together by themselves. There's families and everybody involved. I mean, ask someone what's right and what's wrong, what's not right. But definitely, what's not right is having unlawful interaction and unlawful relationship, internal relationship, before marriage. Regardless, if you're engaged, engagement doesn't do anything. It's like, you know, if engagement is just a promise that, look, I will marry you, and she said, okay, I'll marry you. It's just a promise. It doesn't mean you're married, half married. Seriously, people think they're half married by engagement and the other half's left by the nikah. There's nothing, engagement doesn't do nothing whatsoever. And if you start off like that, you have to start off on the right foot. As I said, taqwa, the fear of Allah, accountability before our Lord and our Creator, before marriage. Before marriage. Remember, sometimes when I've answered this question so many times, I don't want to repeat myself, but you must have heard me once before as well. Because people say, how do you get to know the person? You know, you need to... I think I talked about this in my last talk here, last university as well. You know, I had a talk here 2-3 years ago. What's love got to do with that? What's love got to do with it? Or something like that. Did anybody attend that talk? You did? At least one person. Alhamdulillah. It was about 3 years ago? 3-4 years ago? 2 years ago? 2 years ago. 2 years ago. There's something with Leicester University, me and marriage. SubhanAllah. I don't want to answer that question because I don't have time. But remember, before marriage, start off on the right foot. Don't do anything that's unlawful. If you want blessings in your marriage, if you want prosperity in your marriage, if you want successful marriages, if you want a good, healthy marriage, if you want a beautiful marriage, if you want a marriage made in heaven, was it halfway to heaven? If you want a marriage made in heaven, you start off on the right foot. I'll tell you one thing, but if somebody did start on the wrong foot, it's not too late. Don't worry. Sometimes, that doesn't mean, okay, sorry, we're going to start from the wrong foot anyway. No. If somebody is actually remorseful and regretful and somebody feels bad and they want to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they make firm resolution, firm repentance, tawbah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة النصوحة. Sincere repentance. And it's never too late. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things good for you. But if you want, if somebody doesn't just care whatsoever, no care whatsoever about the injunctions of the Quran and Sunnah and the injunctions of Islam and of Sharia and of Deen, and they just carry on and on, then this marriage will not prosper. Because you won't have the blessings, the barakah in the marriage, because you're starting off on the wrong foot. Unlawful relationship. Even before marriage, you know, you have to conduct yourself, brothers and sisters, in such a way that you have decency about you. At universities, Islam places a lot of importance in, you know, respecting the rules of hijab, of interaction. You know, Islam has a lot of rulings in regards to interaction. Islam prohibits absolute free mixing in a way when a man and woman is absolutely informal. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, addresses the women, that when a man talks to you, what Islam says that when, normally men and women should not talk unnecessarily. If there's a need, you can talk. If there's a need, no problem, it's permissible. But when you talk with someone of the opposite gender, when you have to have a conversation with the opposite sex, if you have to have an interaction with somebody from the opposite gender, then let the manner of your speech be appropriate. Let the content of your conversation be appropriate. Both the manner as well as the content. You don't start flirting. You don't be informal. Being informal is haram. You have to be formal. You have to be, you have to talk. You're sitting here. Of course you have to talk to sisters and brothers. Okay? But try to keep your gaze low as possible. Allah says, قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ, protect and guard your modesty. قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ, protect and guard your modesty. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, do not be soft in the way you talk. Do not flirt. In other words, that's a translation, seriously. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعُ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Do not be, you know, flirty and flirtatious in the way you have a conversation with someone from the opposite gender, because the one who's got illness and sickness of the heart will feel inclined towards you. And then you'll talk. And remember, when you talk, you start talking and that's it. One step to the next step, and then you know better than you what happens. Ultimately, you end up somewhere. So, we all know the consequences. Islam says, block the means, وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even come close to fornication. What we have, سَدُّ الذَّرِيعَ, this is a principle of Islamic jurisprudence, blocking the means of an evil before it, that evil even takes place. Anything that would lead you to having, committing a sin, anything that would lead you to an evil act, Islam says stop. Don't go if that's haram, then stop here. Block the means of an evil before the evil takes place. So start off on the right foot. Have purity and decency about your own selves. You know, in the Quran there's a verse, it's a very scary verse where Allah says, الزاني لا ينكحها إلا زانية والزانية لا ينكحها إلا زانية. You know, a fornicator, an adulterer will marry an adulteress. An adulteress will marry an adulterer. Seriously, that's in the Quran. There's explanation behind that, and I have an article that I wrote behind it. But anyway, it's a very scary verse. If you want a decent husband, you have to be decent yourself. If you want a decent wife, you know, men, brothers, they, and this is more with the brothers, they're always demanding and wanting, and I want a pious and someone with chastity and a really decent hijab observing sister. And the brother himself is flirting with his 15 sisters. Seriously, so many brothers like that. You get what you are. You know, when they say you are what you eat, I change that. You will get what you are. You'll get some brother, some sister, who flirts with 15 brothers. That's it. You know, if you're like that, she'll be like that. الزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية والزاني لا ينكح إلا زانية. So before marriage, start off on the right foot. This is taqwa before marriage. Remember, marriage is something that you want for the rest of your life. You want, without a doubt, to choose someone who is pious and who has chastity in their lives. So before marriage, be very, very, very careful of taqwa. We said, remember this, taqwa before marriage, at the time of marriage, and after marriage. I'm just talking about the one before marriage. Start off on the right foot. Even if you're not engaged with anyone, make sure you observe the rules of Islam in regards to hijab and interaction. لا يخلون رجل بإمرأة إلا كان ثالثهما الشيطان. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a man and a woman, a female and a male, should not be in privacy, in seclusion, by themselves in a way that a third person cannot enter upon them. لا يخلون رجل بإمرأة, except the third is shaitan. Remember this, you know, and it's natural. You see, this, the weakest nature of the human being is the sexual nature. That's the weakest, you know, part of the human being. And this, A sexual instinct is the weakest part of the human being. And therefore, shaytan tries his best to attack the human being in this regard, to make him slip. And it's very easy to slip. So, these are the rules of Islam, interaction. Even when you hear at universities, brothers and sisters, really be careful. And sisters and brothers, both, be careful. Do not violate the rules of Islam. If you need to talk to sisters, or sisters need to talk to brothers, fine, you can talk, it's not a problem. But with modesty, with decency, with haya, with adab, with respect. Think that you're talking to your Muslim sister. Think if a brother's talking to your sister like that, would you like it or not? If you're talking to a sister, then just picture for a moment in your mind that if another guy, your friend or somebody else came to talk to your sister like in this way, would you judge yourself by someone else talking to your sister? And if you don't have a sister, judge yourself by someone else talking to your mother. Seriously. And that's how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught a companion. There was a person who embraced Islam, who was new, and he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was new into Islam, he said, I want to commit adultery, zina. This is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very nice way, in a gentle way, full of tact and wisdom and hikmah, explained to him, he said, look, would you like it if somebody committed zina, adultery, fornication with your sister? He said, no, of course not, Ya Rasulullah. He said, likewise, if you commit zina with another woman, she's going to be somebody's sister. He said, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, would you like if somebody committed fornication, adultery with your mother? He said, of course not, I can't take that. He said, likewise, if you go and commit adultery with a woman, she might be somebody's mother. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then afterwards took his hand and placed it on his chest. And he said, the companion said that since that day the thought of fornication did not even cross my mind. Due to the blessing of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. So, it's very important, brothers and sisters. Sisters as well, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. The Quran says, do not be soft in the way you talk to brothers. Be formal, you have to talk. There's no getting out of it. You have to have an interaction. Islam perfectly allows it. But do not flirt when you have this conversation. Hi, how are you? Oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. You know what the scholars say? The sisters, even if a sister has a soft voice, intentionally, deliberately, on purpose, try to make your voice a bit thick so nobody is attracted to you. Don't speak in a way that may incite someone. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. And likewise, brothers. Brothers as well, when they talk to sisters, they're very warm and show a lot of affection and subhanAllah. Okay. So anyway, taqwa before marriage. I forgot my watch today. What time is it? Can you just keep me watching in front of me? I was in a hurry and I forgot. What time is it? 7:30. Okay. Taqwa before marriage. Now, fear of Allah at the time of marriage. I'm just going to talk briefly on this, and because the main part is after marriage. At the time of marriage as well, brothers and sisters. Islam says, if you have a marriage, conduct your marriage according to sunnah, according to the way guided to us by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Refrain and abstain and stay away, far away from sins, even at the time of marriage. You have a nikah ceremony, make sure there are no sins involved. If you want prosperity in your marriage, if you want blessings in your marriage, if you want a prosperous, harmonious marital relationship, you want a good, healthy marriage, a beautiful marriage, and as I said, a marriage made in heaven, just like taqwa before marriage, at the time of marriage as well, you have to have taqwa. Make sure that your marriage ceremonies are free from unlawful activities. Again, in the marriage as well, make sure there are no absolute type of mixed gatherings where men and women are mixed in a way and where music is taking place and dancing and there's a stage there and there's a man dancing and a woman dancing. These two are marrying, well, it's a marriage of these two, but another 100 people are marrying. You come to match, people come to, get matches. seriously, that's what happens. People say we go to a marriage ceremony so that we try to find who's available. I think that's true. I don't know. So even at the time of marriage, try to keep it simple. And in Islam, marriage is very simple, seriously. As I said, it takes a few minutes. It takes about 3 to 4 minutes to marry. It's very simple in Islam. Keep it simple. We have made it difficult today, brothers and sisters, to marry. Honestly, we have made it so difficult. Parents have made it so difficult. We have imposed so many cultural-based restrictions upon ourselves. According to Islam, there are no restrictions. Like, for example, excessive amounts of dowries. If you go to the Arab world, like, you know, in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere, excessive amounts of dowry. Excessive amounts of dowry that has no basis whatsoever in Islam. The Messenger, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, once he said, أَلَا لَا تُغَالُوا فِي صَدُوقَةِ النِّسَاءِ. Beware, do not be excessive in the amounts of dowry that you fix for your women. فَإِنَّهَا لَوْ كَانَتْ مَكْرُمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَتَقْوَنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَكْرُمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَكَانَ أَوْلَاكُمْ بِهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Had giving large and huge and extortionate amounts as dowry, would it be, had it been something that's honorable in the sight of Allah and a good thing in this world, then your Messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, would be the most rightful of giving huge and extortionate amounts of dowries. But he did not. He gave basic amounts of dowry. You don't have to, you know, spend thousands of pounds. And we make it so difficult on us, seriously. And because of that, there are brothers and sisters who are waiting to get married because the self-imposed restrictions are not being fulfilled. Until I don't get this, I don't get that, until this, until that, until this person, until my great-granddad and my great-grandma doesn't come back from Bangladesh and Pakistan and India and from here and there. I'm not saying don't invite people, try, invite people, have a walima according to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But restrictions, and these are all cultural based. This has to be done, and that has to be done, and this person has to come, and that person has to come, and you must have this, and you must have that. Like once I met a Palestinian brother in Syria, he's a good friend of mine, and he was really dying to get married. He was like 30 odd years of age. And he said, look, I want, you know, he told me, he said, look, you know, if do you know any brothers who have sisters, or, you know, somebody from, because I was studying in Syria. Do you know of any sisters from England? You know, I would love to get married and this and that. I said, you know, why didn't you get married here? He said, if I look for a wife here in Syria, he was from Palestine originally, but he was living in Syria. He said, I'll be 40, but I'll never get married here. I said, why? He said, I need to have 3 keys. No man will give me his daughter until I do not provide 3 keys. Key to the car, key to the business, and key to a home. Honestly, that's what he said. 3 keys. Okay, you need to have a bit of financial stability, and without a doubt, fathers are going to consider that. But do not go beyond the limits set down by Islam. Be simple in your marriage. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, the great companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the 10 companions who was given the glad tidings of Jannah, min al-asharat al-mubashara. You know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave glad tidings for 10 companions that they should enter. Well, he said about a lot of people, but these 10 together in one setting, in one session, in one gathering. So he said, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf will enter paradise. So about him, it's related in one of the hadith that once the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him after a couple of weeks. He never saw him for about a couple of weeks. And then he said to him, he saw him and he had a yellow stain on his clothes. So he said, oh, Abdul Rahman, what's this yellow stain that you have in your clothes? He said, you know, last week I got married and I applied some perfume when I got married. So this mark is because of applying the perfume last week. Now imagine how simple. This is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not even inform him. He did not even feel the need to inform the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Messenger of Allah, I shall be marrying next week. He just went and got married. People used to just get married. They get engaged the next day, okay, marriage, finish. It's no big deal. Seriously. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, if it was an imam like me or, you know, someone today, astaghfirullah, you didn't even tell me. How can you forget me? How can you know, you didn't invite me to your nikah? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no complaint whatsoever. It's no big deal, got married, alhamdulillah. He said to him that, you know, I got married. So you know what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He, no complaint, he just said, Barakallahu lak wa baraka alayk awlim walaw bishatih. He said, may Allah bless you, bless your marriage and have blessings upon you. But remember, just make sure that you invite people. The walima is a meal, a banquet, which is consumed and eaten at the time of marriage. He said, awlim. Even if it's by walaw bishatin, even if it's by sacrificing one goat, just make sure feed a few people because it's a sunnah and it's announcing to people that look, everybody knows in the community that you are married. Because next time you'll be walking on the street with your wife and nobody knows that you're married, somebody might be thinking, you know, what's happening here? It's been, you know, she's saying, so this is the reason, that's why أَعْلِنُوا, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعْلِنُوا هَذَا النِّكَاح وَلَوْ كَانَ بِالدَّفْ. Announce and publicize and advertise your marriages as much as possible. And وَجْعَلُوهَا فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ وَضْرِبُوا عَلِيهَا بِدُفُوفِ. Keep them in the masjids and in the mosques, and also if you can play the tambourine, the duff, that you try to play that because you can announce it. It's a sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They used to actually, when they used to have marriages, they used to use the tambourine, the duff. And I don't want to go into the details, but there's a specific form of drum beat and you bang it to announce it and people know that there's a marriage taking place. So it's a time of being, I'm not saying that just, you know, completely just avoid everyone and don't invite no one and it's just, no, of course in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his daughter got married, he said, bring Abu Bakr and bring Umar, call them. Where's Abu Bakr? Where's Umar radiallahu anhumah? So inviting a few people here and there, your relatives, cousins, and it's fine, it's not a problem. It's a happy occasion. It's an occasion of being happy, a joyful occasion. There's nothing wrong whatsoever. But what I'm saying is to go beyond the boundaries, beyond the limits set down by Sharia. And going beyond your means. Sometimes people don't even have enough money in the pocket. People are not marrying, you know, actually, subhanAllah, this brother said to me that my dad said I can't get married because of the credit crunch. I spoke to this brother 2 weeks ago. I said to him, tell your dad there's a credit crunch but there's no marriage crunch. Seriously, that's what the dad said, we can't afford it. People want, they don't have the means, yet it's just for show, just for the people. What will people say in the community if we don't have, if we don't make a big do out of this marriage, if we do not do this? People, so what? The last thing you should be concerned about is people. And that's a general principle that you should always keep in your life. The last thing you should be concerned about, brothers and sisters, in your life is what people are going to say about you. As long as you are okay with your Lord and with your Creator, as long as you are not doing anything wrong and sinful and haram, as long as you're not harming anyone, you will never be able to please people. Whether you do good or not, we are not here to please people. Seriously, there's no possibility of any human being being in such a position and status and such a condition that everyone's happy with him. Impossible. Even the prophets, people were the enemies of the prophets. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the greatest of enemies. People don't believe in God. If they don't leave God, then are they going to leave me and you? So don't think about that. Don't make your life miserable because what people are going to say and think. Let them think, let them say, let them do whatever they want to do. That's their life, they carry on doing it. You do what you have to do and don't make your life miserable. But, so this is what I was talking about at the time of nikah. And the most important part for taqwa is, we've talked about the fear of Allah, consciousness, God consciousness. Accountability. Remember the definition of taqwa. What did I say? Keeping in mind that every single action that you do, every verbal statement that comes out from the mouth, anything you say or you do, we will have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and Creator in the hereafter on the day of judgment. Remember, this is the definition of taqwa. Taqwa before nikah, at the time, and most importantly, even more important than before and at the time. Before and at the time, you can get away with it. You can seek forgiveness, tawbah, Allah forgive me, you know, you can repent and be remorseful and regretful over your situation or over your sins. Inshallah, Allah will forgive you, it's not a problem. Even at the time of marriage, if certain sins were conducted, possibility Allah will forgive you. Islam is a sin of forgiveness, a religion of forgiveness. But most importantly, after marriage, I can't, you know, emphasize this point enough. taqwa after marriage. Brothers and sisters, in your own selves, and even when you look and try to search for a potential spouse, when you look for a husband and wife, the first criteria should be taqwa. And that's why. Because remember, marriage, it's not just like a 2-week thing. It's not a 6-month trial basis. It's not, you know, a fling. It's a lifetime commitment. You have to remember when you're marrying, when you're looking for a sister, then think, when I'm 75 and she is 73 or 4 or 7, whatever, doesn't matter if she's older than you, younger than you, there's no Islamic ruling that she has to be younger than you. Is this the woman I want my wife when she's 73? Think. Likewise, the sister. When you see a brother, think about when you're 70, when you're 80. When you go and search for a potential wife or a husband, think. The brother should think, is this the woman that I want as a mother of my kids? Think in the future. Seriously. Do you want someone, you know, would you rather have someone who's pious and who has chastity in her life, and a brother as well who's good, who has good characteristics and good akhlaq and good manners and who is honest and decent and who is gentle and who is polite and considerate and kind and this and that, you know, the whole list. When you're looking for somebody, you know, there's all those, I want someone who's got a great sense of humor and this, so anyway, the whole list. But think, someone who, do you want this person as the father of your children? That's what you need to think. People look for, of course you have to be attracted, and there are other things, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ لِأَرْبَعٍ لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِنَسَبِهَا وَلِدِّينِهَا. A woman is married, and likewise a man is married. A man or a woman is married for 4 reasons. لِمَالِهَا. Some people marry because of the wealth. Because of the wealth, how rich she is, how rich her family is, how rich is he, how rich is his family. لِمَالِهَا وَلِنَسَبِهَا. Some people because of lineage, what background, ethnicity, etc. Some people, لِمَالِهَا وَلِنَسَبِهَا. What's the other one, what did I say? وَلِجَمَالِهَا. Beauty. Yeah, you can look at that. You have to be attracted. I mean, if somebody asked me this, that, you know, the deen of this person is really good, but I'm not attracted, should I marry? Is it wrong if I say no? I said it'll be wrong if you say yes. Because some people think they should not even look at attraction. I mean, marriage is based on chastity. You want your sexual desires to be fulfilled, so that you have a life of decency, of chastity, in a way that then you are able to practice your religion and be peaceful and have contentment and tranquility in your life. If you're not attracted, then how is that going to be possible? So you can look at these things. But the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِدِينِهَا. Religion. فَضْفُرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Make sure, I mean, the metaphorical translation of this is that, make sure that you choose the brother or a sister who has deen, who has taqwa, who has the fear of Allah in their life. Remember why? Because, you know, until the husband and wife do not, brothers and sisters, until the husband and wife, the potential spouses, the man and the woman, do not have and acquire and implement and attain and obtain the fear of Allah in their lives, their marital relationship will never blossom, and they will never be able to have a happy marital relationship. Because they will never able to give each other's rights. Because, you know, this is the reason why at the time of nikah, the imam is reading the verse of taqwa. Remember taqwa, remember taqwa. Emphasis on taqwa, remember, remember. Why at the time of marriage? Because now it's a very delicate life you're stepping into. It's a very delicate life. Normally, now it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult because you will be living with someone 24/7. You'll be sleeping in the same room. You'll be waking up next to the same person every single day in your life. You'll be sharing your food. You'll be sharing your bed. You'll be sharing everything. You'll be sharing kids. It's very easy to overlook the rights of someone. It's very easy to be cruel. It's very easy to be, oppressive. It's very easy to neglect the rights of other people. Therefore now the Quran is saying that remember taqwa. Remember the fear of Allah. Remember you have your wife in your house. You don't have an animal in your house. Remember wife, you've got a husband. You don't have a camel in your house. You know, you've got a husband. You've got a human being. You've got a Muslim. You know, think of this. When you get married, think that, do you want this woman to be the mother of your kids? You know, sometimes people think of Madonna, and I want a woman like Madonna, I want someone like Britney Spears. Do you want someone like Britney Spears to be the mother of your kids? Do you? Or do you want someone like Sayyidah Aisha and Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anhunna? And men as well, do you want someone like Shah Rukh Khan as the father of your kid? You know, they watch Bollywood and they get corrupt, especially sisters. Sorry, I mean, I have to say this. The Bollywood corrupts sisters a lot. They corrupt brothers as well, but they corrupt sisters more. And probably the soaps, they corrupt the brothers. EastEnders and whatever enders. But don't watch Bollywood, and I've mentioned that so many times. But seriously, you know, people think, oh, the sisters, oh, my husband, she's going to be like Shah Rukh Khan and Salman Khan and this kind. Do you want someone like that to be the father of your kids? Seriously, that's a question. Think. Do you want someone like that to make tarbiyah of your child, of your son, of your daughter? Or do you want somebody who is pious, who is... Pious means good character. Akhlaq is the most important thing. And that's why when we say taqwa, we talk about good character. We talk about akhlaq. We talk about good morals, good ethics, good behavior. That's the most important thing. The internal is more important. The internal is more important than the external. And that's why, as I said, that it's very easy, you know, to overlook the rights of your spouse in a marriage. And that's why Islam and the Quran is reminding us. Taqwa, the fear of Allah. A lot of emphasis on taqwa. Because you know what? These rights, you can't... The husband and wife cannot ensure that their rights are fulfilled. Remember, sisters, yeah? If you want to get married, remember, if you have a husband, there is no way, there is no possible way your husband will fulfill your rights and will be good to you at all costs unless he has the fear of Allah in his heart. No police will able to. Don't call the police. Sometimes this is called police, even husbands call police. There's so many cases, seriously. Not going to do. You can't go in any court of the world to get your rights. The Quran says to the man, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat them honorably. Treat them in a gentle, kind, considerate manner. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The best amongst you is the one who are best towards their wives. And he said that, إِسْتَوْصُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ خَيْرًا. I advise you to treat your women in an honorable manner. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is practiced. Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, she was asked once that, مَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam يَسْنَعُ فِي بَيْتِهِ. What was the practice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home? She responded by saying, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. He used to be in the service of his wife. He used to help in the household chores. And she was asked by another companion, كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته? How was the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم at home? What would we think? This is the Messenger of Allah, the beloved of Allah, the leader of the Muslims. He's got like hundreds and thousands of duties. He's the greatest sheikh of the time and political leader and the sheikh and the da'i and everything put together in one. He'll have no time for his wives. You know what she said? Aisha as-Siddiqa bint as-Siddiq radiallahu anha. كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته? She said, كان بساما ضحاكا. كان ألين الناس بساما ضحاكا. He was the most softest and the most tender of human beings in the middle of the house. And بساما ضحاكا. He would smile all the time. He would laugh all the time. This is the sunnah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم smiling. That's something we've forgotten today. Seriously, there was a brother who recently passed away in Leicester. I don't know, some of you may know of him, mashallah. A very, very pious and very sincere brother. There was an event recently as well. And one of the sheikh was talking about him. And they mentioned about him that one of his great qualities and characteristic was that he used to always smile. You smile, you make people smile. Always. But now remember, there are times to be serious as well. You don't become like absolutely a mad person and crazy. That there's nothing, you know, serious in your life whatsoever. That's going beyond the limits as well. But this is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there's a companion called Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajli radiallahu anhu. He says, مَا حَجَبَنِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ مُنْدُ أَسْلَمْتُ وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِهِ. This is one of the most amazing and beautiful hadiths. Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajli radiallahu anhu, he says, since I became a Muslim, the Messenger, since I accepted and embraced Islam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never placed a barrier between myself and himself. No barrier. You want to meet him anytime, every time, there's nothing. No, you know, restrictions, no barriers. And then he said, وَلَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِي. Never did he see me except that he smiled in my face. SubhanAllah. Imagine, he's saying this, try doing it. Every time, this is one companion saying. All the rest used to feel like that as well. He used to make everybody feel important. He used to be smiley towards everyone. He used to embrace them. He used to interact with them and embrace them with love, with affection. And this is more important at home. Charity begins at home. Sometimes it's unfortunate that we're good with everyone outside, but at home, you know, we're the most cruel stuff of the humankind. Seriously. It begins at home. There's one sheikh, one of my teachers relates from his teacher. He once related and he said, he's a great sheikh, he's passed away. He said that I've been married 55 years in my life. In 55 years, I have never even spoken to my wife in a graceful tone. Just imagine. He was an old person, he said, 55 years of my marriage, I have not even raised my voice over my wife. And then he said, I've never ordered her to do anything. In 55 years of marriage, I have not even told her once, go and get me water. SubhanAllah. This is what Islam wants. So brothers, sisters, don't look for Shah Rukh Khan. I'm not saying he doesn't do that, Allah knows best. But look for someone who's got good character. Someone who's worked on his heart. And I tell you something, taqwa goes back, as I said, internally. It relates, it goes back to the reformation of the heart. The purification of the heart. Working on one's heart and one's soul. Seriously, it has a very strong connection. Suppressing the soul. Because you know, all these kind of things, they are connected to the soul and the spirit and the ruh and the qalb and the heart. So, someone, a brother, look for a sister. Likewise, women as well. I was giving examples of brothers. There are great women in Islam who sacrifice, like the greatest, one of the greatest women, Sayyida Aisha, As-Siddiqa radiallahu anha. You know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He would love her dearly. It's documented in the books of hadith. He was asked, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ? Who is the most beloved person to you, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Aisha radiallahu anha. And there are many hadith that indicate that he used to love her dearly. Not because she was beautiful and she was young and she was the only virgin that he married. Not because of that. But because she had such qualities. I mean, you look at the books of hadith and history. Because he loved her qualities. Because she had such qualities of, you know, being unselfish, selflessness, and sacrifice, and having love for Allah and His Messenger, and having love for the hereafter, and preferring the hereafter over this world. And she tolerated any hardship and difficulty that came towards her, in her direction. A very difficult life. She was married to the leader of the Muslims. But if you look at her life, she says in one hadith that two months used to pass by and nothing used to be cooked on the stove. This is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. No complaint whatsoever. She sacrificed everything for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Totally devoted and dedicated and committed to the marriage and to her husband. And helping him and working for him and you know, being absolutely dedicated. And likewise, the husband, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved his wife dearly. So, someone who's worked on the heart. And if you've already married, then it's never too late. Start working. Because marriage and taqwa has a great connection, a great link, a great bond and relationship and attachment with taqwa. Taqwa and taqwa, marriage, taqwa has great link and attachment with the heart. Someone who's suppressed their desires. And that's why tazkiyatul qalb, and I'm going to end with this, one of the most important areas of Islam. And I'm sure you know this, and if you don't know it, if you know it, it's a repetition. If you don't know it, then listen to it. But one of the most important teachings of the Quran and Sunnah of Islam is tazkiyatul qalb. Tazkiyah. Tazkiyah means purification. Purification of the soul, purification of the Quran is filled with it. There's no denying the fact. The Quran is filled with it. Allah says in the Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who has purified his or her soul, the one who's worked on his soul and the heart, the one who has suppressed his desires or her desires, and worked in order to be a good human being, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. This person is successful. He has gained success. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَ. And the one who has corrupted his soul, the one who has corrupted his ruh and desires, the one who has corrupted the heart, خَابَ, he is in loss. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the objectives, one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this world was to purify the souls. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent a messenger from amongst you. Why? To recite the Quran, to teach the Quran, to recite the verses of the Quran. And then he said, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to spiritually purify the believers, the companions radiallahu anhum. It's one of the objectives, maqasid, of prophethood. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the reasons that he was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to purify the souls of the companions, and then they likewise teach their students to purify the souls. So it's really important having a sound heart. أَلَا يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That on the day of judgment, no wealth, no children, nothing will come, will be of any benefit. No wealth will be of benefit. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Only the one who has come to Allah with a salim, a sound heart. So work on the heart. When you want to get married, sisters, find a brother. I'm not saying here, from here, but whatever. Find a brother, seriously, who's worked on the heart, spiritually reformed his heart. Somebody who's suppressed his desires. Like the poet says, عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ فَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ. Somebody who's a human being. You want to marry a human being, right? You don't want to marry an animal. Brothers, you want to marry an animal or a jinn? Yeah, recently somebody asked me, can humans and jinns marry? And then I wrote an answer. It wasn't somebody from here, was it? Somebody wants you to marry, seriously, in Leicester. Seriously, it's in Leicester. There was this sister, and she said that someone in her family has told her that some jinn is proposing, and the male jinn wants to marry her. It's all corruption, seriously. It's ludicrous, absolutely ridiculous. And if I told you that, you know, who the jinn was, you'd be shocked. I don't want to go there. People are very gullible. You know, this is another topic. Maybe some other time I can do a talk on this. But you know, this whole jinn and black magic and all this business, stay away from it. Don't corrupt your life. Don't waste your money. If you have too much money, then give it to me. But don't waste your money in going and paying hundreds and thousands of pounds because somebody makes you an amulet. Seriously. Now, people who are gullible, people are vulnerable and weak, and people prey on your vulnerability. They're completely, you know, these people just come from all over the place, from India and Pakistan and from Bangladesh, here and there, and they say that they've got some mystic powers. It's absolute rubbish. Total rubbish. There's no basis. And one other thing, don't think every problem you've got in your life is black magic. One of the greatest problems you've got a headache, black magic. Seriously. This is one family. Every time the woman of the household, the lady, she's in her 50s, 60s, she gets a headache and she phones Pakistan. Some peer. You know, I've got a headache. The way he does, he takes the phone and he blows. He blows. Seriously, he blows. I'm not making this up. He blows from the phone on her head. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. Ridiculous. So that's another topic here, but I don't want to get into that topic. But I just want to end with this. You want to marry a human being. You know what a human being is? What does the poet say? عليك بالروح. عليك بالروح. Look after your soul. Look after your heart. Work on your heart. عليك بالروح. فاستكمل فضائلها. Nourish it. Complete its good qualities. Give it the good qualities. Give it all the good character traits, the fadail, the virtuous traits and qualities and attributes. فَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا. And then he said, فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ. It is by your soul that you're a human being, not by your body. Bodies, animals have bodies. We have bodies. The dog has a body. The cat has a body. The donkey has a body. There's no, you know, virtue in having a body. It's your soul and the spiritual soul which a human being has, which an animal does not have. فَإِنَّكَ بِالرُّوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ Work. And we have good qualities and good character traits, and we have these good attributes inculcated in your life. Seriously, it's important with marriage. Like for example, one of the bad attributes is greed, hirs. We have to replace that with the love of the akhirah, with generosity. Love of this dunya is bad. Love of this world is a evil. It's a blameworthy. You know, we have good, praiseworthy character traits, and you have the blameworthy character traits. You have to replace the blameworthy, evil character traits with the good, praiseworthy qualities and character traits. Replace love of this world and greed with love of akhirah, love of Allah and His Messenger. And it's very important in marriage. You want a wife who's going to always, you know, who has too much love for the world. Every week she wants to go shopping for handbags and shoes, and they love the handbags and shoes. But, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong all the time. But if you want someone, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised one man that marry a woman because of three qualities, and he mentioned, فَإِنَّهُنَّ أَعْضَبُ أَفْوَاهًا وَأَنْتَقُ أَرْحَامًا وَأَرْضَى بِالْيَسِيرِ The last quality was a woman who is content and happy with little. A woman who's happy and content with little. So a woman, a wife who's worked on her heart, she doesn't have dunya, the hub of dunya, the love of the world. She wants the akhirah. Yes, of course, she doesn't want to starve to death, but she's happy. The little amount she gives, alhamdulillah, praise to Allah. Happy. She thanks Allah. Gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, your brother, who gives you time and who's not always, you know, bothered with how much money that he's just going to gain in this small mortal world. Just 30, 40, 50 years of life, and the only thing he's busy with and involved with every time is just money, 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 and money, and nothing else, and no relationship with you. So you don't want somebody who has the love of dunya, somebody who's replaced that with generosity, with sakhawa. Another bad evil, ghadab, anger. And seriously, that's who, anger is disastrous in a marriage. Check, if you are investigating, sister, if you're looking for someone to get married, make sure, for the sake of Allah, make sure you check this properly. You don't want someone who's angry. Or someone who's angry, they're working on it, whether Islamically they are applying and implementing all the remedies. And also, it doesn't matter, you can go and get some anger management treatment done. But you know how many times marriages end because of ghadab and because of anger? One of the greatest of sins. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by a sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, give me an advice and make it short and brief. Just a small advice. He said, La taghdab, do not become angry. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Those who swallow the anger, those who forgive people. Allah likes these people. Allah loves these people who are muhsinun, the doers of good. Anger is a root cause for major problems and all problems. People who can't control, I'm telling you, I know so many marriages where people, they become absolutely maniacs and crazy. You know the type of things that come out from their mouth because of anger, you'll be shocked. And you know, al-mar'u makhbu'un tahta lisanihi. A human being is hidden under his tongue. You know, when everything is nice and cozy and fine and good, no problem. But when you're angry, then things come out from your mouth. And then you, people, I know husbands who've actually committed kufr. Yeah, this happens. It's not that shocking now for me. People who are in marriages, women as well, control your tongue. When brothers, you want, you look for a woman who is muttaqiyya. A man will be muttaqi. Look for a woman who's worked on her heart, a woman who's controlled her nafs and soul, a woman, a sister who's suppressed her desires, who doesn't have this habit of bickering around and arguing around and jealousy and always just fighting and quarreling. Because you're going to live with her now, you're going to have your sister's mother and people. I'm not saying you have to live in the same house, that's another topic anyway, but there'll be people there. And you know, it's going to be difficult. A woman who just forgets and forgives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعْفُ وَصْفَحُ Forgive and forget. فَعْفُ وَصْفَحُ So these are the qualities. You know, sabr. Somebody who is able to have sabr and patience and control over themselves. Okay? لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ Hadith says The mighty and powerful is not the one who is physically powerful. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدَ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. The real powerful and mighty person is the one who is able to control himself at the time of anger. So we have to try this. Lying as well, a great sin. Connect you to the heart. If you have a wife who's always lying, she's going to lie to you all the time. And if you likewise, if you've got a husband who's lying, he'll say that he's gone to a meeting, he's gone somewhere else, clubbing. You know, that happens. Jealousy. These are spiritual diseases of the heart. Blameworthy character trait. Seriously, you don't want to marry someone who's jealous. That's the last person you want to marry who's jealous. And you know why. Because jealous, you know the first person who committed the sin of jealousy was who? Iblis, Shaitan. And look what happened to him. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْحَسَدْ. Beware of hasad, jealousy. فَإِنَّ الْحَسَدْ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبْ. Jealousy eats away, consumes and eats away and takes away and extinguishes all your good deeds like fire eats away wood. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. Remove that. With someone who has an open heart. So someone who's worked on their heart. Taqwa, after marriage, a brother who's worked on their heart. Remove jealousy from their heart. And now nothing affects them. Because, you know, jealousy is like there'll be two sisters, you know, you have your wife and your brother, he's married, he's got a wife, there'll be jealousy between the two sister-in-laws, you know. These are human beings and people do these kind of things. It just causes problems and confusion and conflicts and disputes and debates and argumentations and fights and ultimately ending of marriages because of jealousy. So you don't want jealousy. Someone who, nothing affects her, you know, she's... It's all in the hands of Allah. Somebody's got a clean heart. Okay? Pride as well. Pride. Pride is a dangerous disease as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ مَنْ كَانَ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّ مِنْ كِبْرِ. The hadith says the one who has even a small, tiny, minute, small amount of pride in his or her heart, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. She'll not enter paradise. Malice. Again, hatred and malice. This is something that you have to remove from your heart. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And somebody who has a quality of ithar. You know what ithar is? Ithar, I'm just 2 more minutes, I know time is. Ithar, giving preference to others. This is an extremely important quality. Ithar, what is it called? Ithar. Giving preference to others over yourself. SubhanAllah, it's a amazing attribute and quality to have. We must all work. It's the opposite of being selfish. It's selflessness. Opposite of being selfish. And being selfish in a marriage is disastrous. That's why sisters look for a brother who's not selfish. Sisters and brothers as well, look for sisters who are not selfish. You want some people, you want to marry someone who has a quality of ithar. Allah described the companions, Sahaba in the Quran, he said, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They give preference to others over them, even though they are hungry themselves. They give preference to other people. This was related, this verse was revealed in relation to a particular incident that took place, a long story. But this is how the companions were. You know, always putting yourself in the shoes of the other person. If you're the husband and you're having a fight, dispute, argumentation with your wife, one moment just close your eyes and think you're on that side and she's on this side. Always think about the other person. لا يحب لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You cannot even be a complete believer until you do not like for your fellow Muslim brother or sister what you like for yourself. This is not just a fellow Muslim brother or sister, this is someone who is your life partner. Someone you're married to, this is your husband, this is your wife. Importance of this is greater. So, all of these things and take, you know, work on your heart and whether you're a brother and sister and, you know, inshallah, if you do this. So remember, in summary, the khulasa is, what did we start with? 3 verses that were recited. And that's the reason why these 3 verses are recited. All of them have taqwa. Taqwa, the fear of Allah, the understanding, the reality of accountability on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. So before marriage taqwa, at the time of marriage taqwa, and importantly, after marriage. A marriage can never be prosperous unless both the woman and the man, everything they do, everything they say, they think that, you know what, Allah is going to ask me about this. And if you do that, then inshallah your marriage will be prosperous. I end with this.